Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles here this morning, and let's stand together if we can in reverence of God's Word, and we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter number 40, a very familiar chapter, a very familiar text as we think about the subject here this morning. I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, Renewed in Power, Renewed in Strength, as we think about Isaiah chapter number 40, and we're going to look at the final four verses that we find within that chapter, starting in verse number 28. And then down to verse number 31 as we think about, once again, this subject being renewed in power and in the strength of our God. Isaiah 40, verse number 28. The Bible reads in verse number 28, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." If you have your Bibles open this morning, and look at verse number 31. And let's read that together if we can in unison as we begin. Ready? Begin. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the awesome privilege that we have to be here at West Coast Baptist College. And thank you for this hour that we have in the middle of our day to get alone with the Word of God and to listen to the preaching and the teaching of God's Word, and to be encouraged and to be challenged. And Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to us. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would eliminate all the distractions that we might have, whether it's something externally, whether it's maybe a thought or something within our mind this morning. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to focus on the truth that we find here in Isaiah chapter number 40. Father, as we come to this point in the semester, Lord, it's been busy. It's been a long semester, and we still have several weeks to go. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be renewed. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to be strengthened and to help us to finish strong. And Lord, I pray for those within this room that have come into this place with a heavy burden, with a heavy load. I pray, Lord, that something that is said could lift that burden and strengthen them so that they can press on forward to finish the course that you've called them to run. And so, Father, bless this morning and bless the time that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we think about the scriptures here this morning in Isaiah chapter number 40, God desires today that we as believers would live a life that is renewed in his power and renewed in his strength. The Bible teaches us in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10, it reads that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. The word might that we find there in verse number 11 is the Greek word dunamis. And that word there speaks about miraculous power. It speaks about a superabundance of strength and vigor within one's life. And you see here this morning, that's the desire of God. And that's how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live a defeated life, but rather he wants us to live a victorious life. He wants us to live a life that knows the power and the strength of God, and that is renewed within our life on a daily and a regular basis. That is the desire that God has for each and every single one of us here this morning. But the fact of the matter is, from time to time, we all grow weary. The truth is here this morning that from time to time, we all grow tired in the Christian journey. And there are seasons within our life where we feel drained of power, where we feel exhausted when it comes to the strength that we so desperately need within our lives. It might be because of a busy work schedule that you might endure throughout the semester. It might be because of some academic pressures that you face here towards the end of your time in this semester. It might be because of some family issues at home. It might be because of maybe some relational issues or maybe physical health problems. It might be because of some form of spiritual warfare, or might be a multitude of those all combined together that causes us to even face a season here this morning where we feel weary and tired with physical fatigue. We are spiritually depleted. We are mentally exhausted. We are spiritually weary as we try to run the race that God has called us to run. And we desperately need this morning the renewal of His strength. We need the renewal of His power. And this morning, everything might seem okay on the outside. And outwardly, we might have the facade that everything is fine. And somebody might walk by and say, "How are you doing today?" And the automatic answer to that is, "I'm doing fine. Everything's good. Everything's okay." And outwardly, we might have that facade. But inwardly, if we'd be transparent and honest to the Lord, we're running on fumes and we're not thriving when it comes to our spiritual walk with the Lord, but instead we're simply surviving from day to day without the power of God. You know, many years ago, in the 1930s, there was a beautiful float that was leading a pack of floats at the annual Rose Parade down in the city of Pasadena. It was full of colors. It was beautiful on the outside. It had flowers and great decorations, a lot of money that was invested into that float. However, a few minutes into that Rose Parade, it had come to a screeching halt, and immediately it had stopped all of the floats that were behind it. And so the crewmen came and the mechanics came to find out exactly what was wrong concerning that float. And after a few minutes, they discovered the problem. And so they waved down another mechanic, and sheepishly, he kind of ran out there to the parade, and he was holding a red oil container. And for a few minutes, he went under that float. And then after a few minutes had passed, they turned on the engine and the floats started moving once again, and it started going and continuing on its course. And later on, it was revealed concerning that float that it had ran out of gas. The crew that was taking care of that float, they had forgotten to check the gauge when it comes to their fuel. And right in the middle of that Rose Parade, it had run out of gas. On the outside, it looked great. On the outside, it had the flowers, it had the decorations, it had the colors. It looked beautiful on the outside, but inwardly, it was running on empty. Inwardly, it was running without fuel. It was running without power. And many Christians here this morning can be like that float. That outwardly, once again, we're smiling, and outwardly, we're laughing, but inwardly, we're empty. Inwardly, we're depleted. Inwardly, we're living without strength and without the power of God. And maybe some of you are like that this morning. Maybe some of you could say, "Brother Paul, that's kind of what I feel like today, and I'm going through the motions, but inwardly, if I could be honest with you, if I could be honest to the Lord and be transparent, I'm depleted right now, I'm weary right now, I'm tired right now, and I desperately need some power within this life." And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you that there is strength available for you. I want to encourage you that there is power available for you. There is renewal that is possible for each and every single one of us here this morning. Now understand that that renewal doesn't primarily come from a summer break or maybe a vacation, although all of that can be helpful to a certain extent. But that renewal doesn't come from maybe a vitamin or a superfood or maybe a relationship. But that renewal and power primarily comes from above. It comes from the Lord, that in spite of all the trials and the difficulties and everything that might be going on the outside, God can renew us from the inside, and He can empower us and strengthen us that we can continue to press forward in the things that God has called us to do. I think about the testimony of the Apostle Paul that we find in 2 Corinthians. He mentions there that he's troubled on every side. He was perplexed and persecuted and cast down and physically tired and weary. But in verse number 16, he writes this, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And Paul had a source of strength that the world did not know about. It was a power that came from the Lord, which renewed him day by day to live a victorious life for his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I ask you a simple question. Are you tired? Are you weary this morning? Do you feel like that float that, yes, on the outside, nobody might know, but on the inside, to be honest with the Lord, you feel depleted and exhausted, and you're tired this morning within your life. I want to encourage you this morning with some principles as we think about Isaiah 40 on how we might be renewed and strengthened in the power of God. First of all, notice with me as we look at these verses, we find starting in verse number 28, we find here the source of strength. We must first realize the source of strength here this morning. In verse 28, the Bible reads, "Hast thou not known and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." As we think about Isaiah chapter number 40, this is a chapter of comfort. If we went back a few verses, we look at Isaiah chapter number 39, and we find here that Isaiah has given a prophecy to King Hezekiah and a prediction about the future concerning the nation of Judah. It's a distressing prophecy about their future and the impending judgment that would come as we think about the Babylonian captivity. In Isaiah chapter 39, verse number 5, the Bible reads there, "Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And so we find this tragic prophecy that Isaiah gives to King Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter number 39. And then we come to Isaiah chapter number 40, and we find here a change in subject and really a change in scenario. And now we find the comfort of God. And it begins in verse number 1. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And you see, the essence of Isaiah's message here in chapter 40 is to the people of God that he's given this distressing prophecy about the future. He is encouraging them to say, don't forget about the sovereignty of God. Don't forget about the power of God, that yes, he's greater than all the princes, and God is greater than all the kingdoms, and God is greater than all the empires. He is the ruler of all things. He is the sovereign over all of creation, and he is able to strengthen you, and he's able to comfort you, and he's able to empower you, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of captivity, even in the midst of your trial. He's able to empower you so that you might continue to press forward for the things of God. He is the source of all of our strength. In Psalm 62, verse number 11, the Bible says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Now, I want you to notice here within this chapter and within these opening verses within our text, we find here several descriptions about the source of our strength concerning his power and his greatness. I find, first of all, there are his titles. Look at verse number 28. It begins there. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? We find the title here concerning the fact that he is the everlasting God, that God does not have a beginning. God does not have an end. He is everlasting. He is eternal. In Psalm 90, verse number 2, the Bible teaches us, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And so we find here the title concerning the fact that he is eternal. But then also I want you to notice here, we find the title that he is the Lord, that he is the self-existent one. The word Lord that we find here in verse number 28 is the Hebrew word Jehovah. And it speaks about the fact that God is not dependent upon anything else for his existence. He simply exists, for he is the eternal I am. And that reminds me of the conversation that God has with Moses back in Exodus chapter number 3, where Moses asks, as I go to your people, as I tell them who sent me, what name do I give them concerning the one who has sent me to deliver them from the grips of Pharaoh? And we find in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And as we think about that title here this morning, we would realize that everything that exists in this creation must have an antecedent cause for its existence. Nothing appears out of nowhere. I think about my children here this morning. We didn't wake up one morning and then all of a sudden, here's my three children. And whoa, where did you come from? They didn't just pop up out of nowhere. There's a cause to their existence. That's their parents, which is me and my wife, Sarah. If I had an egg with me here this morning, we would understand the cause of that effect would be a chicken or a hen. If I went through my living room and I stepped on a piece of Lego, first of all, I would scream in excruciating pain, but then I wouldn't yell, where did that come out of, right? I hate it when these Legos appear out of nowhere. No, there's an effect not only for its creation, but there's a cause for why it is there. I would yell, Luke, what are you doing? You left the Legos out once again on the living room floor. There's a cause to that effect. And everything within this life has a cause, but not God. The Bible is very clear here this morning that God does not have a cause. He is the uncaused cause. He is the self-existent one. He is the I am that I am. And in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He is the Lord. He is the self-existent one. We think about the title that he's the everlasting, eternal God. We think about the title that he's Lord. He's the self-existent one. We also find the title that he is the creator in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. The Bible says, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. In Psalm 89, verse number 11, the Bible reads, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. And so we find here in the first portion of Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28, we find here the source of our strength and some descriptions concerning who he is, that he is the everlasting God, that he's the eternal one, that he's the great I am, the self-existent one, and that he is the creator of all creation here this morning. We find the titles of God, but also as we continue, I want you to notice in the latter portion of verse number 28, we find the traits of God. We find the attributes and the characteristics of God, and we find in verse 28, as we continue in that verse, it says that he fainteth not, and neither is weary. We find that God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. And throughout this chapter, Isaiah gives description after description. He says, hey, judgment is coming. You will end up in the Babylonian captivity. Hard times are coming in the future of your life. Nevertheless, when you're there, remember that you have a God of all comfort. Remember that you have a God that is everlasting. Remember that you have a God that is sovereign. Remember you have a God that is omnipotent, and he can provide power and strength during those seasons of hardships within your life. And throughout this chapter, Isaiah describes the attributes of God. In verse 22 down to verse number 24, he teaches that God is greater than the princes and the nations of the world. The Bible reads, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalks shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Isaiah teaches us that this God that he describes is greater than all the empires and the kingdoms of the world. He also describes God's greatness in comparison to all of creation. If we went back to verse number 12 in the same chapter, the Bible reads there, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted or measured out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. I think about that word span that we find right in the middle of that verse. It speaks about half a cubit or about 9 inches. It denotes a hand breadth from the edge of one finger to another. And some of you at times might measure something if you don't have a ruler with your hand breadth. And the Bible teaches us here that God measures the heavens with a span with his hand. Several years ago, I read about two Harvard astronomers that had discovered a great wall out in the universe. They called it a great wall of galaxies. And they estimated the length of that great wall to be approximately 500 million light years long. One light year is equal to 5.88 trillion miles. Not million, not billion, but trillion miles. To just give you an idea of how long that great wall is, if we took the earth and the diameter of the earth, and we placed the earth right next to each other so it's touching right at its edges, and we lined it up to be equivalent to this great wall of galaxies of 500 million light years, that length would be equivalent to 365 quadrillion. Not million, not billion, not trillion, quadrillion. 365 quadrillion Earths right next to one another would be equal to 500 million light years. That's pretty big. And God says, I measure that section of the universe and 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 the areas that you haven't even discovered. God says, I measure all of that simply with one hand. That's how big and great our God is here this morning. And oftentimes we do not realize how powerful our God is because we're still thinking in earthly terms and comprehensible measurements, but our God is incomprehensible. He is immeasurable. Martin Luther once said to another theologian about God, he said, your thoughts of God are too human. Your thoughts of God are too human. One man said, this is where most of us go astray. Our thoughts of God are not great enough. We fail to reckon with the reality of his limitless wisdom and his power. So we find here that he is omnipotent as we think about the traits of God. We also find in verse number 28 in the final portion there that he is omniscient, that God is all-knowing. It concludes with these words, there is no searching of his understanding. A few verses back once again in verse 26, the Bible reads, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number, speaking about the heavenly bodies, the sun and the moon and all of the stars within our universe. And then the Bible says he calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And so as we think about the source of our strength, we find here a description of our God. We find here that he is omnipotent. We find here that he is omniscient. We think about his titles, that he's the everlasting God, that he's the self-existent one, that he's the creator of all of creation and all of the universe. And the amazing truth here this morning as we think about our big and amazing and powerful God, the Bible teaches that we, as believers here this morning, have access to God. We have access to the power that God can provide within our lives. Ephesians 3:20 teaches us here this morning, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So we find here, first of all, the source of our strength as we think about verse number 28. But then I want you to notice, secondly, as we continue, I find the shortage of our strength. Notice the shortage. In Isaiah 40, verse number 30, the Bible says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, in this verse, Isaiah reminds us that even those who are in their youth, and even those who are young men, those are who are in the prime of their life with their health and their wealth and their strength, even they will become faint and weary. Without God, they will fall. And Isaiah is reminding us here in verse number 30 that we are all frail. That we might feel like we're in the prime of our life, and we might feel like that we're young men and we're young students here in Bible college, and all of you are, but even young men, the Bible says, will fail, and even those who are in the youth, they will fall, and all of us are frail, and all of us are limited, and at our best, we are weak, and without God, we are powerless, and without God, we can do nothing. And the Bible reminds us of that in John 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. Samuel Brangle, who was a commissioner in the Salvation Army, He wrote, "The Lord is most graciously helping me to see how absolutely nothing I am without him and helping me to keep little in my own eyes. He does use me, but I'm always aware that he uses me and that it is not of me the work is done. The axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. It could do nothing without the woodsman. He made it, he sharpened it, he used it. The moment he throws it aside, it becomes only old iron. Oh, that I may never lose sight of this." And you see, when we begin to lose sight of that truth here this morning, that is when pride begins to creep within our hearts. And the moment that pride begins to creep into our hearts and we think, hey, I can figure this out on my own, I have strength to follow through and I have strength to accomplish this, that is the moment that we begin to lose the power and the strength of God. I'm reminded of Samson in the Bible. And a great man of God that was used of the Lord, a mighty judge of Israel. He had great power from the Lord. We think about some of his powerful accounts in the Old Testament. He killed a lion with his bare hands. He slew 1,000 Philistine men with the jawbone of a donkey. He carried the gate of the city of Gaza dozens of miles uphill on his shoulders. But we also find the end, and we find the failure of his life when he becomes careless and when he's filled with pride, expecting and assuming that he would always have the power and the strength of God upon his life. And in Judges chapter 16, verse 20, we find one of the saddest verses in the Bible, and it reads there, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke and out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." And it was because of his pride. It's because of this moment of his lack of humility and the lack of reliance upon God and the assumption that he would always have the strength of God upon his life that we find here one of the saddest moments within his life. And in James chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible reads, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And you see here this morning, God desires to give us the divine enablement. God desires to give us the wisdom that we so desperately need within this life. God desires to give us the strength that we need within this life. But the Bible teaches us that if we're filled with pride and we're relying upon self and we're dependent upon our intellect and our abilities and our experience, we're not going to know and experience the power and the divine enablement of the Lord. God's power begins when we realize we are nothing and we cannot accomplish the tasks before us, and we humble ourselves before an almighty God. And you see, strength from God begins with us realizing the shortage of strength. That yes, as youth, and yes, as young men, and yes, as even within our prime, that we have a shortage of strength, and without God, we can do nothing. I think about my son Luke, and he's our youngest, and he's the most independent out of all three of our children, and he's very competitive and always wants to do everything on his own. And I remember when he was maybe about 4 years old, he started learning how he could do things on his own. He could brush his own teeth, he could put on his own shoes, he would buckle his own seatbelt. And whenever we'd go shopping and we'd come back with a bag of groceries and different items within our car, he wanted to be the first one to get back there, and he wanted to carry the most heaviest item there was. He wanted to prove himself to me and his mom and to his brother and his sister, and he'd go back there and he'd carry the heaviest thing that he could. And as a father, I'd see my son Luke, and he would struggle carrying that item, and he would stumble back and forth, and he wouldn't be able to carry that very well. And so me being the father, I'd jump over there and I'd want to help and try to give him assistance, but he would always pause. And then he'd look at me as if I offended him, that I'm trying to help him. And he'd look at me and say these words. He said, "I can do it myself." And so I'd let him do it. And after a few moments, he would struggle again and he would stumble. And then finally, when he would come to his point of humility, he would look at me and he'd say, "Daddy, I can't do this. Can you help me?" And it was only at that moment of humility when he realized, I don't have the strength to do this. I don't have the ability to accomplish this task. And as he turned in humility, only then could he receive the help from his dad. Likewise, as we think about our relationship with our Heavenly Father, it's only when we realize that we can do nothing without Christ. We don't have the ability. We don't have the intellect. You say, I've written 10 papers already this semester. I can do this one on my own. You can't. You need God's help. You say, I've gone soul winning every single week and I can go out and knock on doors by myself. You can't. You desperately need the help of God. You say, I've gone through semesters and I've gone through all the experiences of college life and I could just press on in my own strength for the next 3 weeks and I could finish in my own intellect and in my own power. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you can't without the power of God resting upon your life. We desperately need God's strength and his help this morning. And so the Bible teaches us the source of strength, which is God, the shortage of strength. And then lastly, as we close here this morning, I want you to notice with me the supply of strength. Notice with me the supply of strength. And in verse 31, we find here the requirement. And it begins in verse number 31 in the first portion. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait there is the Hebrew word kavah that we find in the scriptures. It literally means to bind together like a cord, but it denotes one who is hoping and patiently trusting in the Lord. The implication of the word wait here speaks about somebody who is abiding in the Lord, somebody who is walking in the Spirit of God. It speaks about somebody who would slow down, somebody who would wait, somebody who would take a pause within their life to refocus once again and to reconnect once again and to renew once again their relationship with their God. I don't know if you've ever been late to an appointment before. Maybe you woke up in the morning, you had a very important appointment to get to, and so you hurriedly put on your clothes, and then you maybe scarfed down some quick breakfast as you could, and then you got out to your garage and got into your car, and you try to drive as fast as you could to that important appointment. But as you're driving to that appointment, you looked over at your fuel gauge, and you realize, hey, it's on E, and it's the lights on, and there's no way I can make it to my destination. Simple illustration, but when you find that within your car, what do? You don't take it to a car wash and get a wash on the outside and vacuum the inside. You don't slam on the accelerator and try to drive faster. What do? There's an important appointment to come, and you have to get there. You don't have time, but what do you have to do? You have to find the closest gas station. And you have to pause. You can't rush it. You have to wait. You have to pull out the nozzle. You got to open up the gas tank, and then you got to put in the nozzle. You got to pay for that gas. And then you have to patiently wait until that gas tank is refilled. You have no fuel. You have to refuel. And likewise, when it comes to our Christian life, when we find ourselves in these seasons of being depleted, the answer isn't, let's just put our head down and keep going. The answer isn't, hey, let's just find some activity and forget about all the pressures that I'm going through in this life. That's not the answer to just keep pressing forward in our own strength. But when we find ourselves in this season, when we're depleted and exhausted, that is a time that we must pause and wait and slow down and put a hold to other things that are good within our lives so that we might spend time doing that which is vital and most important, and that is to be renewed and refueled by the power of God. In Psalm 27, verse 13, the Bible said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And let me encourage you here this morning, if you feel like you're tired, if you would say, that's me, I'm weary, I feel like I'm spiritually depleted, I feel like I'm mentally exhausted, I'm tired here this morning, let me encourage you, as soon as you can find an open window, as soon as maybe this chapel is done, maybe you have an open hour, maybe after lunch you have some time, let me encourage you, get alone with the Bible and get alone with the Lord and find a place of solitude somewhere on this campus. Maybe it's on the field, maybe it's on the backside here next to a dorm, wherever it might be, but get alone and get on your face before God and seek his power and seek his strength. And God promises that he will renew you, he will strengthen you, and he will empower you once again to press forward for the Lord. In Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We find here the requirement. You must wait upon the Lord. And then lastly, we find the results. And in verse 31 in the final portion, the Bible says, "And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And Isaiah here closes with these two illustrations. And first, we find the illustration of the eagle, an eagle that is soaring, an eagle with wind under its wings and soaring through the air. And the Bible teaches us here that God will renew our strength, that we shall mount up with wings as eagles. And then we find the second illustration, that there is a runner who keeps running and isn't tired. He runs and he faints not. He walks and he's not weary and he does not faint. And you see here this morning, that's God's desire for you and that's God's desire for me. Right? He wants us to mount up with wings as eagles. He wants us to be like this runner. He's not going to remove the race, but he wants us to be strengthened in the race so that we can continue and press forward, that we can run and not be weary, that we would walk and faint not. And so this morning, God wants to give you power. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to renew you this morning. His grace is available for you today. But the Bible teaches we must wait on the Lord. We need to pause. We need to slow down. We need to get alone into some solitude. We need to get on our face before God. Say, "God, I can't write this paper. God, I can't finish these assignments. God, I can't handle the pressures of my workplace. God, I don't know how I'm going to accomplish and finish the semester. God, I don't know where these finances are going to come from." And you need strength, and you need a renewal of power within your life. And the Bible teaches God wants to give it to you. It's available, but we need to wait upon the Lord. We need to get alone with God and seek his power and seek his strength. And he promises that he will give us the grace to help in time of need, that you might continue to run and not be weary, that you might walk and faint not. Are you tired this morning? Are you weary? God has strength for you. God has grace for you. But you have to wait, and you have to seek his power within your life.